Welcome to On the Way with Tony Crisp. Each weekday, Dr. Crisp will be discussing biblical passages, people, places, and prophecies. Tune in daily to start your day right and deepen your understanding of how to better walk the way and enjoy the journey. Here's your host, Dr. Tony Crisp.
Welcome to On the Way. This is Tony Crisp, and this is Podcast 1075. Today, I'm going to deal with one of those subjects in our Friday question and answer that is very sensitive and touchy. And the reason is it deals with where we live. You see, when we're dealing with theory and we're dealing with things that we will never experience, that is, most of us, then it seems trite sometimes to deal with it and distant. But when you deal with a subject that people deal with every day and that many people have been involved in and sometimes have not made the wisest decisions and are living with regret, it seems in some cases like you're piling on. I don't want to do that because I want to talk to you today about the subject of burial versus cremation, the burning of the body. Now, I've been in ministry now this year, April the 2nd, will be 49 years. I have done a lot of funerals. I've walked through the death experience, the funeral home experience, the funeral experience, the burial experience with hundreds of families. And I have been with them when they've picked out caskets. I've been with them when they've made decisions about whether to burn the body or whether to bury it. I'm not going to go into all the historical ramifications and all of the investigations that I've gone through over the years. But what I am going to do is tell you that if you want to have more on it, I have had several podcasts, at least two I know of, on burial versus burning the body. And that's what cremation is. It's burning of the body. So I'm not going to deal with that. But probably in the last 3 years, I've been asked about this more than any other subject. And the reason is it's on people's hearts. And one of the reasons it's on people's hearts is because they're unsure about it. So what I want to do is not just talk about the evidence of what the Bible says, because that's pretty clear, but I'm going to talk to you about how I arrived at my decision that burial is the biblical way to treat a body after death. Now, I want to go back to do that to help you to understand how I arrive at anything in the Bible. And part of my hermeneutical method, that is how I discover truth and how I have learned to discover truth that is very well tested and tried. Now, first of all, I want to make this thesis statement to you. And you've heard me say all of these things. Every Bible writer from Moses to John, Moses was the one who wrote the Pentateuch. That's what we call it, the Torah, the books of instruction. And John wrote 5 books in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. Moses wrote the first book, Genesis, and John wrote the last book, Revelation. And between them, every Bible writer assumed that the people to whom they were writing understood the language. They understood the historical setting. They understood the history surrounding the time in which they were living. They understood the geography and where they were. They understood the cultural context, the cultural milieu of the day. They understood the customs of the day. And so all of that was assumed by the Bible writers. In other words, they don't give us a blow-by-blow detail to everything and why they said what they said. And the reason is they didn't have to. The people to whom they were writing understood that. And so this is very important in understanding this subject. Because God speaks to us, as I have taught you, in 3 ways in the Bible. Now, I know God speaks to us through dreams. God speaks as spoken in prophetic utterances. God speaks to us in circumstances. God speaks to us. I understand all that. That's not what I'm talking about. God speaks to us through the Bible in 1 of 3 ways, or 2 of 3 ways, or all 3 of these 3 ways. The way God speaks to us in the Bible is by precept. That's line item. God says, this is the way, walk in it. This is right. This is wrong. It's a precept. It's a line item. It's just very clear. Usually direct address or commandment. Or God just says, this is the way to do it. And then there is a principle. That is, God speaks to us in a series of axioms that leads to a certain kind of behavior. In other words, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we need to take care of it. Now, God doesn't say your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, so therefore don't put anything in it like smoking or nicotine or anything. God doesn't do that. He gives us the principle that the body is sacred. And so therefore, we conclude from that a behavior that we need to take care of it if it is sacred. And I could expand on that, but I must move on. So God speaks to us in precept, line item, principle, axioms, truths that lead to behavior, to principled behavior, behavior, conduct that is based upon principle. And then in pattern, many times this is the way God speaks to us in the strongest way because it is illustrative. It's an illustration. It's a living way of saying this is the way I want you to act because it pleases me. And many times the Bible will say, and this pleased the Lord. What? The way that this person acted, the way that they treated someone, the way that they said something, the way that they thought about something. And so this is, for instance, principle and pattern is the primary reason that believers, followers of Jesus, who are not Jews, primarily worship the Lord and have gatherings on the first day of the week. Not because there is a precept that says, I therefore command you to be gathering together on the first day of the week. There's not such a scripture. There's a couple that come close to that, but it doesn't tell us that. And so why do we do that? Because the principle is that Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. And just as the Jews were used to remembering creation and commanded to remember creation on Shabbat, and that's clearly stated in precept in several places, but none clearer than Exodus chapter 20. But there's no Exodus chapter 20 concerning believers because the early believers were all Jews for 10 years. They were all Jews. They were all Jews for 10 years. And so the early church was made up of Jews, but they all worshiped not just Shabbat, and when they worshiped God and remembered God, Zakar, as creation, as the creator, and what God did, but also they had another time of gathering together and celebrating, not to remember creation, but to remember redemption, salvation, resurrection. Because that's the day that Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. So therefore, they worshiped on the first day of the week. They remembered Zakar. They remembered that Jesus rose from the dead. It was a day of remembrance. It was a memorial. They were remembering that. They remembered that he died as a substitute, as the Lamb of God. They took what we call communion. And as often as they did that, they remembered Jesus. There are many things that are illustrative that teach us sometimes better than just a precept. I've talked to you about Hebrews chapter 11, where in the first two verses you have a explanation, a precept of what faith is, a clear explanation. But after reading that, you don't know any more many times than what you did before you read it, in the sense of being able to explain it. So what does God do? God illustrates it for the rest of the chapter. In other words, he gives us a pattern of conduct that expresses or shows, acts out what faith truly is. And many times we understand by seeing people do things and watching people do things, what they believe more than what they say. And so this could never be more true when it comes to how we take care of our loved ones who have died and how we take care of those who are not our loved ones, but just out of respect, we bury them. Well, that's been going on since creation. That's been going on since the book of Genesis. How did they bury their dead in the book of Genesis, in Exodus, in Leviticus, in Numbers, and Deuteronomy, in all of the Old Testament and New Testament? How did they do that? The primary way that the people of God cared for the dead was through burial, either above ground or below ground. This is why Abraham thought it was so important that he bought a field, and it was the only portion of land that he ever owned of the promised land that literally he had title deed to. Now, God said, I'm going to give it to you and your inheritance, but the only part that Abraham really had a deed to was his burial plot for he, his wife, his children, and indeed, Isaac and Rebekah were buried there, and Jacob and his first wife, Leah. Now, what I'm telling you is this is a pattern all the way through Scripture, and it was assumed if you were Jewish, which, by the way, the Bible is primarily a Jewish book written by Jews primarily, to Jews primarily, for Jews primarily. Now, you and I might not like that, but it doesn't matter. It's a reality. The Bible writers assumed that people understood that you didn't burn the body unless it had been desecrated. And when you go through the scriptures and look, it's only through decapitation or desecration of some way that you read about a body being burned. When there's been a beheading, when there's been decapitation of arms and so forth, and some kind of massive slaughter, then you would have a burning going on. But primarily, you will see the body put into a grave or a tomb. Why is that? Because the body is sacred. And that is a precept, not just a principle, but a precept. What? Paul asked the church at Corinth, do you not know that your body, your soma, that's the word there. You see, God made us three parts, body, soul, and spirit. Soma, psuche, pneuma. We are body, soul, and spirit. There's a part you can see and a part you cannot see. Now, why is this important? Because God made the body, and he made the body sacred. We are not as the Greeks who believe that the body is just the house of really the important part. No, the body is the important part as well. It's all important. As a matter of fact, the body, soul, and spirit is so looked upon as sacred that it is, when it talks about one, it talks about the other. For instance, when Ezekiel said, the soul that sins shall die, he's not just talking about that part of a man that has the mind, the emotion, and the will. He's talking about the whole person. Because you see, in hell, according to Luke 16, in Hades, the rich man lifted up his eyes and he was in torment and he was needing a drink of water to put on his tongue. Why? Because he had a body. We are going to have glorified bodies. Jesus didn't resurrect as a spirit. He resurrected as a total being, body, soul, and spirit. And so God made the body and it's sacred and it houses the part we cannot see, but it is sacred. And so therefore we need to treat it with a sacred nature. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that burning a body is not the pattern of Scripture, either Old or New Testament, unless judgment is associated with it. Again, I'm telling you how I am arriving at this. I'm not just telling you do this, don't do that. I'm trying to get you to see, search the scriptures yourself and see if not the way that the body was taken care of after death was with great care. Why? Because it was an eternal creation. That is, yes, it's going to return to dust. Yes, it is from which Adam was made. It's going to return to that. But please hear me. It's going to be reconstituted. But the whole idea is you're going to have a body. You're not going to be floating around as some spirit in God's place that he's making for you eternally. Heaven is a real place, and we're going to have real bodies there, and they're going to be bodies like Jesus had. We don't know, beloved, what we are right now, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, 1 John. All I'm saying to you is the body's sacred. We need to treat it that way. So folks will come to me, many people have come to me and said, well, Pastor, would you do my husband or my wife's funeral or my brother's funeral? I cremate him. And I said, well, of course I will. Why wouldn't I do that? And they're somewhat shocked because they know how I feel about this. I say to them many times, I will ask the question if I know them well enough and it's working. I say, why did you do this? What I have found out is that there's two reasons when I ask that question that they give. Cost and convenience. Cost and convenience. Well, we cannot apply cost and convenience and ease in any other realm of commitment and discipleship without compromise. Now, I'm not saying that you are compromising anything. I'm telling you that's the reality of it in any other way of life. So why would it be any different here? You see, we've got to do what the Bible teaches is the best thing to do, not what we can get by with, not what God will forgive us of, not what God will not judge us for. I'm not judging you about anything. You do whatever you want to. As for me and my house, we're going to bury our dead because that's the biblical pattern that we see in the scriptures. It's the biblical precept we see in the scriptures. It's the biblical principle we see in the scripture that the body is sacred, that we are made in the image of God in totality, that God made us body, soul, and spirit. I didn't make that up. That's what the Bible teaches. And so we treat the spirit with dignity. We treat the soul with dignity. We treat the body with dignity. And so if you ask me, Should I bury or cremate? Should I burn my loved one's body or should I bury it? I would say I would bury it. You say, well, that's very expensive. Well, a lot of things that have to do with doing the right thing are expensive. But I've not met a funeral director yet that will not work with you in some way or another to let you pay out something. You say, well, you mean I'm going to have to pay out to bury my loved one? Well, you pay out for a car. You pay out for a home. You pay out for anything that you think is important. Some of you even make payments on a cell phone. You see, what I'm telling you is what we really feel like is important, we usually have to pay for. So I'm just trying to help you to work through something because many of you are facing this reality and I want to be a pastor to you. I want to love you. I want to help you to do the right thing so that there's no guilt later on down the road, which I've had to deal with many people. Many people that have been talked into the convenience and cost aspects of burning the body have talked to me and said, you know, if I had that to do over again, I wouldn't do it. Well, I don't have that same conversation with people who bury their dead. I love you. I want to help you. I want to answer your questions in a biblical way. And by God's grace, I will do that. For On the Way, this is Tony Crisp.
Thanks for listening to On the Way with Tony Crisp. Tune in every weekday for information on biblical passages, people, places, and prophecies. Fridays are for your questions. Email your questions to questions@tonycrisp.org, then just listen for your question to be answered on Friday's podcast. That's questions@tonycrisp.org. Thanks for listening, and have a blessed day on the way.